sold in UAE and Saudi and Rwanda and many other repressive states. So unless there is a complete ban or massive regulation, which currently does not exist at all, these technologies will continue. And even if NSO Group disappears tomorrow and it's currently in financial crisis, many other companies do exactly the same thing, and which is why Israel is now one of the leading spyware exporters in the world.
Well, Anthony Lowenstein, I want to thank you so much for being with us, author of the new book, The Palestine Laboratory, How Israel Exports the Technology of Occupation Around the World. If you want to see our interview with the now imprisoned Moroccan journalist Omar Adi, as well as our other work talking to the University of Toronto Lab and others about Pegasus, you can go to democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Produced with Mike Burke, Renee Feldstein, Augustine Messiah Rhodes. As well, Nermeen Sheikh, Maria Terracena, Tammy Warrenoff, Trina Nadura, Sam Alkoff, Tamari Astudio, John Hamilton, Robbie Karen, Honey Masood, Sanji Lopez, our executive director, Julie Crosby. Special thanks to Becca Staley, John Randolph, Paul Powell, Mike DeFilippo, Miguel Noguera, Hugh Grant, Dennis Moynihan, David Prude. I'm Amy Goodman. This is Democracy Now!
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. KBOO's Board of Directors meets on the fourth Monday of the month at 6 p.m. This month's meeting will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland and online through a public video conference. Masks and proof of vaccination are required at this time. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting virtually can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! You're listening to KBOO 90.7 FM.
Thank you. Good morning. You're listening to KBOO Portland. Ooh, I sound extra radio voicey today. This is The Gap. My name is Tammy, and with me is Althea Billing.
Hello. Good morning. I made it. We're so happy to be here. Sometimes it's a little more hard fought than other days to be here on The Gap. Can give you some real-time advice.
Oh, yeah.
Don't get on I-5 North if you're coming from Southwest.
Boom.
There's some stuff going on, so...
Yes, we're here at 8:06 at the Boo, given also the traffic forecast.
I never get to do traffic. I'm also a little out of breath because I'm hustling. I'm hustling to get in here.
We're glad to have you here. Yeah. And thank you so much for our new board op for the show. We really appreciate you. We're in the same room together. Usually I am in the air room. And for those who maybe are unfamiliar with the show or tuning in for the first time, this is The Gap. It's a two-part show. In the first part, we usually either have an interview or a news roundup. And for the bottom half, we open up the phone lines for you to call in and answer our community question, which today is actually going to be a bit intertwined with the news. So look out for that. Yeah, I'll give the phone number a little later on. But a lot of things have been... I keep saying every week, a lot of things have been happening. Yeah, duh. A lot of things have been happening, though.
Is it possible that a lot of things have been happening?
It's true. Some say, are these precedented times yet, or are these still... Never going back to precedented.
Yeah.
Never. But there's some local news that are happening, and usually when we do the news, we do... kind of national or international, then focus in, hone in on local. Mm-hmm. But this time, let's flip that.
Okay.
Flip that upside down on a 10.
Okay.
Boom. So, Provident nurses on strike. Althea, you popped this news item in here.
Yeah. We got 2,000 Providence nurses, both in Portland and in Seaside, on strike and have been for a good chunk of this week. It's the first time in like more than 20 years that we've had a nurses' strike like this. Yeah, they started on Monday. And they are on strike about, you know, low pay, benefits, and of course, just all of the different ways that the healthcare industry has been impacted by the pandemic and caseloads and things like that. The last strike, I guess, was at OHSU in 2001.
Ooh.
Long time ago.
They're overdue for it.
Yeah. So their nurses are dealing with a lot of staffing shortages because of burnout and low pay. So... in their contract negotiations, you know, they've been pushed to the limit of what they can allow over at Providence, and they are on strike with the Oregon Nurses Association.
Mm, that's over here in Portland and Seaside.
Yeah.
So really, kind of like across the state across the state.
Yeah. We got multiple places going on, and yeah, I mean, I think that it is. I mean, I'm sorry that it's come to this, I suppose. But I mean, what the nurses are saying makes a lot of sense.
Sure,
it's a hard job that they've got.
Especially after the pandemic. The whirlwind that between the pandemic, the lockdowns that were caused by because the pandemic is still, you know, ongoing. But the lockdowns were definitely... God, they had the worst. I remember there was like the nurses were contracting COVID and then they're like, well, I have the antibodies. And then they're like, well, you still need to get vaccinated. Actually, you don't need to get vaccinated. Yeah, the nurses were really dealing with a lot in the last few years.
And part of these staffing shortages is that hospitals are then paying travel nurses.
There it is.
Like nurses from elsewhere and paying them much better for the same work, if not a little bit easier work, than what staff nurses are getting who are on the contract. So that adds a little salt to the old wound, I'm sure. If you have been, you know, at your job working dutifully and then someone, you know, from out of state gets to, you know, get the same thing but better benefits, come on.
Travel nurses are they part of the union or no?
Like I guess I'm not 100% on that. I don't think it would be like the specific union for the hospital itself.
Sure.
And we've interviewed a travel nurse.
Yeah,
on the
I was
show.
Saying like
yeah,
the, yeah. In 20.
We've been doing the show too long.
She was saying that there was some like lack of protection because, you know, she wasn't part of a union.
Yeah, so I think it cuts both ways a little
yeah.
bit.
Yeah, and also private hospitals and... Mm.
Anyway.
It's an interesting story. Keep looking at this as it develops because it better.
The nurses are out there. And good for them.
This is... I'm reading part of this article that you linked, and they're saying that... Providence nurses are being undercompensated relative to other nurses in the region. Mm-hmm. One big factor, which is one of the biggest factors driving the strike, especially at a time when Providence reportedly has billions of dollars in cash reserves. The health system posted an operating revenue of, I can't even quantify the, $27.3 billion in 2022.
With a B?
$1 billion.
With a B.
In 2022, though that number is slightly less than its operating expenses.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, we get those annual reports, you know, people are reading these annual reports, you know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Like, people are, you know, you reported this, so, you
right.
know, just kind of, what are you going to do about it now?
Right.
You know, the rooster's coming home to pipe the piper.
Exactly. I couldn't have said it better myself. Do you want to go to our next story here?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, let's talk about the county, shall we? Multnomah County is suing fossil fuel companies over the deadly 2021 heat dome. We're seeing a lot of interesting climate change-related lawsuits right now. There's also the one with the youth in Montana that are suing the state for ruining their future and the actions that they're taking involved in fossil fuel and stuff like that. So this lawsuit was filed Thursday, and it says Multnomah County is alleging that these companies and trade groups played a substantial role in creating the conditions that led to Portland seeing record-setting temperatures in June 2021. If you were here, you remember. 69 people, I believe, died in the county over a course of a few days because of that. KGW terms it as nearly 70, but yeah, 116. I saw 120. I remember that.
Yeah,
I made some dangerous choices around that time, called driving home with no AC in like 120 degree weather, and you know,
I was struggling.
Yeah, people in this town do not have AC.
Yeah, it's because it's apparently not a thing here.
Well, because we didn't need it until it decided to be as hot as an oven. But yeah, so they're suing for $50 million in damages and from like the heat dome itself. And then, talk about the B in billion, another $1.5 billion for future damages.
$1 billion.
Guess who's been added here? Playing some of the hits. ExxonMobil, Shell, Chevron, BP, ConocoPhillips, Motiva, Occidental Petroleum, Space Age, Valero... Anybody who's anybody. Oh, Coke Industries, American Petroleum.
Old school.
McKinsey, you are gonna... You'll know some of the names on this list. The stars of fossil fuel industries are out tonight in this lawsuit.
It's like you're giving the rundown for the gala. The thing where
the Met Gala.
Met Gala, there
yeah,
it
yeah.
is. When I was reading that you put that on there, and really, I know nothing about environmental law, mm-hmm. science, you know, I'm friends with science, you know,
yeah.
like as in I walk and gravity keeps me
yeah.
tethered down to...
haven't gotten into an argument yet.
I have not gotten...
Well,
about,
knock on wood. You never know
argument about gravity. I mean, hey, it's just
sidewalk.
A theory, right? But it's working so far. So, I have an appreciation for science and I know that it exists. I know also that I don't know much about it. But when it comes to... specifically environmental sciences around oil mm-hmm. and fuels and fossil fuels and crude oil and all this stuff, I sometimes get lost in the weeds. I understand like carbon and the cows and the issues there and all that. Like that's about as far as it goes. And the ozone layer,
yeah.
it does not like spray bottles or
right.
Lysol bottles.
It's, yeah, the aerosol is bad for it.
But I feel like we're aware of these industries and their name and like their general and what they do. So I was looking at that list of, you know, the star-studded list that they have there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, where's Zenith at? And I was like, well, maybe Zenith isn't the type of thing, a type of oil or the type of industry that they're suing for right now. But, and this is, again, I'm not an environmental scientist, but isn't like tons of crude oil or waste being driven around in Northwest also kind of really bad and maybe also can impact the environment and just as much or even more directly than these industries, you know? Mm-hmm. I just wonder, like, where is Zenith in the mix? Because the county is suing, but also, you know, it's the county is suing with one hand, but also giving up, you know, giving...
Well, the city is the one that gave it up. I don't know what the role of the county is there, but I totally...
They could pressure them. They could do some pressure.
I totally take your point there. I mean, it's just unfortunate that this is, like, the way that the justice system is structured in a lot of ways, which is, like... It is only until something, you create disaster that you can get sued, rather than, hey, we all can see that something bad is going to happen here, but until somebody or their property is harmed, that is not necessarily, like, grounds for a suit. And, you know, Zenith Energy transporting that crude oil around is definitely something that we are constantly vigilant about. Can I read you a little quote from our county chair, Jessica Vega Peterson? She says, quote, "The climate crisis is already costing us money today and will cost us more money in the future as we try to adapt. We are not looking for a payout. We are looking to be paid back." I kind of like that.
It's definitely, you know, worth putting on a sign.
Amount of people who've had to invest in AC? Come on.
Are they going to pay those people back?
Yeah, they're trying to create a fund for it.
I saw that there's a type of fund. It's not like it's a bad idea or something.
Kind of a both and sort
of thing. It's, you know, it is a step, you know, and it's, I guess, better than standing still, But it's like a step forward and a step back, because you know what I mean? Like, right. It's like pick a lane, you know? You're either for this or against this.
It's definitely like swinging for the fences, you know? Because from what we've read and the kind of the history of this kind of thing, it's not the first time that, you know, a county or a city has tried to sue a fossil fuel company for this, but not a lot of them have gone to trial. I don't know that any of them have been successful.
Sure.
So it's like, let me try to poke a stick at the big beehive. And it's like, but you're being stung over here. Why don't you get that one off you first?
Do you think that it's more of a, like a, not a metaphor, but like more of a gesture of like, see, we don't want you polluting, and so we're going to sue you. So next time that you think that you can get away with it, think again type thing? Like, you think it's more of a...
Maybe so, but I think... I mean, it's
gesture,
not...
A gesture, I guess, yeah.
Right. It's not necessarily, like, an ongoing action. And they're only trying to get damages. They're not trying to say, like, hey, we're going to shut down Shell. Which I... Not that that's... You know, not that I'm against that. I said that in a tone. We're like, that's crazy. Shell's going to be around forever. But, you know, I think... I guess it makes sense to me that the county would be interested in the kind of money that oil companies have.
For sure, yeah.
To try to address how our city has suffered in the heat dome, you know? And also the ways in which the county is liable for the way that they handled it.
I suffered.
Yeah, but mm-hmm. I mean, but like the people that died, the infrastructure that the county supposedly had was not all there. And people who were here then, you know, they remember that we were looking at, you know, all of the transportation things that they had planned out, like, really did not pan, and, you know, we lost people for it, and that sucks. So, look, I hope they're successful. I hope they also, like you said, Zenith, that's a great point.
Well, we are not environmental scientists. There is Locus Focus is a great show about, you know, environmental
action. I thought you were saying
that
under your breath. Cough.
Oh,
Locus Focus.
Actually, that was it. Locus Focus is a great program here in KBOO that focuses on all of environmental news, happenings, action, activities. So
Mondays at 10, I believe?
I think so, yeah. Mondays at 10.
Shout out Barbara Bernstein.
Great show. But yeah, we'll keep an eye out for that too. I guess we'll have these kind of two ongoing stories with the nurses' strike and this lawsuit, see what's going on. But yeah, people are handing out lawsuits like they're cotton candies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just, you get one.
Seems lucrative to be a lawyer. I don't know.
Booms. You can say that again. At the end of the day, let's wake that up.
That's big law school talking. Where do you want to go next with our time here?
We've got about a couple of minutes left. What do you think the the word of the day of the national story?
Let's do it. Okay, I think we move into the national at this moment.
Okay, cool. Here we are. Big news item that's been iteming all over the news is
consuming the public.
The public, the internet, the private, all of it, is this submarine debacle is what you wrote here.
It's sorry, a submarine. Is that rude to say?
I mean, it's a tragedy, really, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's definitely a tragedy.
And it started off, I guess, what was it, on Sunday?
Debacle, a sudden failure, a fiasco. I'm not using the word fiasco enough. I'm just going to say that to myself. Sorry, go ahead.
Pretty unfortunate tragedy. And I'm not sure when they actually took sail? Does it count like sailing?
I think it was on Sunday.
Yes, on Sunday.
Like sometime on Sunday.
A group of explorers.
People who have $250,000 to burn. They're rich, I think is.
We could be explorer and rich.
Right.
I guess you don't get a degree
to be an explorer, so sure.
Oh, boom. Remember that. You don't need a degree to be an explorer.
I'm going to, again, Google that, but it sounded good.
All the masters of exploration are going to call in and be very upset.
Yeah.
But on Sunday, a group of people got into a submarine hoping to find remnants of the Titanic, which is off the Atlantic coast.
Yeah.
Or it was not off,
it's
actually,
way out
inside
there.
Of it. Inside of the Atlantic Ocean.
Pretty deep down, if you can believe that.
And the submarine just didn't. Now we know that the submarine didn't make it. And
imploded a few hours after it launched.
Although people didn't know this, but
spent
all
the
we
whole
knew,
week estimating how much oxygen they had left.
All we knew is that these guys in the submarine had a limited supply of oxygen, and unfortunately, folks were kind of counting down the days based on that supply of oxygen.
Well, counting it down of like, hey, here's how much time rescue efforts have left.
Not, yeah, as rescue efforts were undergoing. And so that happened on Sunday. And then throughout the week, the internet really, I mean, it went ablaze with opinions and hot takes. I was going to say hot opinions. With hot takes and op-eds going from, you know, the history of the CEO of this company that created the submarines to all of the different things that they had to sign to kind of absolve them, absolve him of liability. Yeah, that's right. Waivers. And also the CEO of the submarine company went down there with them, which I didn't realize.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's
his wife, they find out, because if you focus millions of people's attention on something for an entire week,
get those in the sleuth.
You're digging up a lot of stuff, and you know, let that be a lesson. Generate a media circus, you'll find out some stuff. And you know, there's been talk about what we ought to be focusing on instead of, you know, five people in a homemade submarine.
It was in the day after like a boat of migrants went down in
right,
the sea,
yeah, comparing that.
Which was not, I thought it was related at first. I thought it was like the submarine was looking for migrants in the ocean.
No.
But it was just
apparently like the Greek Coast Guard refused help. Anyway, I was just going to mention that the CEO's wife is apparently a great-great-granddaughter of a couple that died on the Titanic.
And this brings me to my next point.
Okay, take me there.
I have it written down.
she's showing me the notebook. Oh, a little asthma.
It says, don't mess with it. It's cursed.
Yeah.
That's my personal opinion. Every time I think of the Titanic, I get the same feeling as the first time I saw the Hope Diamond. I saw something. Listen, that lady threw that big diamond in the ocean for a reason.
Yeah.
I don't know. And it's a tragedy. Tragedy after tragedy. How many people... It's sad. And there was a kid in there, you know, 19-year-old
kid. Yeah,
19-year-old
kid trying to please his dad for Father's Day. Yeah, I mean, it is extremely sad. It occupies, you know, a big part of the imagination, I think. And there were so many little, like, mini stories that metastasized off of it. I didn't know that when the Titanic was first discovered that people were like, should we dredge it up? So, you know how, you know, nothing ever goes down that deep? Should we sort of pick it up and take it? What if we made it a museum? Like, I didn't know that that was part of the conversation, and that, you know, people who survived was like, do not, please leave it down there. It is like a grave, you know, it's this like major tragedy. And I, you know, I think there's a conversation to be had about, hey, should we be going down? Should we be a tourist at a major tragedy, you know, in that kind of way? Especially when it's like under like 3,000 feet.
Like dangerous to get there.
Yeah.
There's something about like the danger of heaven. Because you said that and I was thinking of like the 9/11 memorial or something.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, like the Vietnam, Korean, or like all the war memorials.
Right.
But well, I guess 9/11 is more specific because it physically, you know, is where it happened.
Right.
But yeah, it's also not a dangerous, I mean, listen, you've been in New York, you know those rats are very dangerous, but
yeah.
You get over the rats, like, you're good.
Well, and to like, spend that much money to go be, like, a looky-loo.
It's not unexplored.
It's explored. We've seen it.
I haven't seen it. I want to see it.
Have you Googled?
I go with my own two eyes. I mean,
I personally don't want to see it with my own two eyes.
I personally don't either.
Yeah.
But I appreciate the spirit of exploration.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it seems like there was a lot of, it doesn't seem like there was any kind of like shadiness or any kind of like misdirection around the safety of this vehicle, submersible.
I heard differently about that.
Well, he was on there saying that you could die.
The waiver, sure, but the hull was not rated to go that deep. Like there's a video of the CEO like, yeah, I built this and you know, it's not rated to go. I broke a few rules, you know, it's not rated to go that deep, kind of a thing. Doesn't have an emergency beacon on it.
Which you would have done.
That has been my main point. Like, you know, no offense, if I built a submarine, I would probably put an emergency beacon on it. It also, like, reminded me, when I was in eighth grade, we had this science project.
Nice.
And it was, like, it was really open-ended. It's like you have, like, a bottle, and you have to get it to sink and rise and sink again as a submarine. And we were like, how do we do that? And it's really not that far different from what actual submarines, like, they were like, well, if they really needed to surface quickly, they could drop, they have a couple of lead rods that they could drop. It's like, whoa.
Oh.
I didn't know that was part of it.
I can't remember if it was who it was, might have been either DJ Khaled or someone who's very, very wealthy and loves to go on the internet and be silly.
Yeah.
I think it was Rick Ross, actually, and he's like, I don't understand, why didn't they have an anchor, you know? And it's all of us, and we're, again, I'm not a sea scientist or something.
I don't know how submarines work.
But, like, all of the, you know, just, it's interesting to see the reactions, and again, it's definitely a tragedy, and people are being, you know, before I get into the reactions of people on this, I got a question, the question I was asking you yesterday, the question of the day for me is, does this person not know there is, like, a thing as the Navy? Like, in the same light that, does Elon Musk not know that there is a thing called NASA, and like, can't they partner up? And it's not like, and then my question is, do these institutions kind of squash creativity and innovation because of all the bureaucracy? And is that why millionaires are doing these dangerous things? You know, because danger and risk and explorations are a given, but there is like literally like pools and teams of scientists and like safety regulators and stuff that can at least be like, hey, maybe put a beacon in there. Hey, maybe have like a button. I don't know, something, you know.
I mean, I think that's a good question. You know, a lot of it is not like broadly for commercial use, you know, but also, I mean, when these things were discovered and probably for a while after, a lot of the tech was like, you know, under government classification.
Sure,
We're not really telling people how to build the submarines that we're building. Like, it's going to be based on these ideas, but like, you got to figure it out, you know, not necessarily sharing the trial and error of it all.
There was and I guess, there is
fear,
lots of different fears and secrets, but the internet's response to this was pretty respectful and pretty, unlike one of the passenger's stepson. The internet was being pretty respectful and mindful.
That's a kind characterization of it. But it could have been way worse. Is one way to look at it. Do you want to say the thing about the stepson?
It's 8 o'clock in the morning. We're talking about this. He went to a concert,
yeah,
and posted it online, knowing that his stepdad is lost in the ocean in a submarine while all this is happening, and then decided to post another picture because everyone was like, what are you doing? This is ridiculous. Go right. home. Doubling down.
Yeah.
And then I can't even say this other part. It's like just so ridiculous. I guess was looking for comfort from an online friend who's also an OnlyFans models and or content creator. And as he, I guess, asked her out on a date after looking for comfort or asked her to do something.
Yeah, I don't know, some kind of Twitter interaction.
Some sort of Twittering around, if you know what I mean.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, and all this in
real
life. Well,
you didn't say that it was Blink-182.
Oh, sorry, it was Blink-182,
and
sorry.
And then he specifically goes to this concert.
It was a Blink-182 concert.
And he's like, hey guys, I know my stepdad is lost at sea and potentially dead, but I have to go to this Blink-182 concert because it brings me great comfort. Which, like, I understand not wanting to sit around, I guess.
Sit around. You sit around and you
sit
cry,
around,
you slit your
also,
wrists and you
like,
wait.
You don't have to post about it. No one is making you post about it online so you get roasted and then somehow end up in, like, an internet beef with Cardi B, of all people.
Cardi B said, the part where she said, I'd rather be broke and loved than a millionaire where my stepkid doesn't give
any... I guess that's true.
Doesn't care about me.
If I was lost at sea...
Oh, I'd be waiting there. What do you call it? A widow's balcony? Or whatever.
Oh, there you
it's called.
Go. Yeah,
I'd
yeah.
be there with a handkerchief like this, like this, dried flowers.
Same.
Yeah, writing songs.
Uh huh.
At least start a GoFundMe. I mean, well, they don't need a GoFundMe, but
oh, and I think maybe that's why people really they're like, I have to go to this Blink 182 concert. We don't need a GoFundMe.
So is that what people do when a tragedy happens?
Yeah, they're
happens,
like, they I can pay for my own medical expenses. I actually have to go to a Blink-182 concert.
The fact that he posted it, and, you know, I know Blink-182 would never co-sign on something like that.
Yeah.
They erased a whole generation of us. They would never, they know what loyalty looks like. They're out there 55 plus years old,
uh-huh.
doing what they do.
Uh-huh.
Parents, they're grandparents, some of them. Anyways, so that's where we're at with that unfortunate tragedy and a very disrespectful stepson. And he's not stopping. Like he's not kind of like cowering away to.
Well, he's got his 15 minutes going, you know, of fame. do you want to tease our community question before we go for a little break here?
Yes, please. You want to go ahead?
Okay. So the second half of our show is when we do our community question, and we thought we'd give you a little extra time to give you a little bit of this background information, which is that you could be pumping your own gas sometime soon. Our listeners in Washington are not impressed by this, but the Oregonians are certain, there is a self-service gas bill that is headed to the governor's desk. It makes it optional. So it's not necessarily, like, there would still be, like, one attendant to help people who didn't want to do it themselves, but it would give people the option. Right now, some of that option exists, you know, late at night in super rural counties where it doesn't really make sense to have, like, one person hanging out at a gas station all day. It passed with a bipartisan vote in the Senate, and it would give Oregonians the option to pump their own gas, and gas stations would have to designate which of those there are. So we want to know your thoughts on this after our quick little break here on The Gap. Our number is 503-231-8187. Talk to us about the gas bill. We're going to take a little musical break and we'll be right back.
Lame to dance. Do you like my stupid hair? target that I'm probably gonna miss. Let's go, don't wait.
And we are back, excuse me, on the Gap here on KBOO Portland for the community question. A little Blink 182 for everyone, since they're just our, this is it. They're the heat of the moment right now.
Yeah. And wouldn't you know, all of a sudden, you might be able to pump your own gas if you're living in Oregon or you're passing through. We want to know what you think about that. 503-231-8187.
What do you think, Althea?
I don't know. I'm kind of two minds. Like, I, you know, I grew up in Washington, so I am familiar with how it works. I always think of that when the first sort of like allowing people to pump their own gas thing in specific situations passed probably 5 years ago. There was that photo of the lady like squirting the gas into the gas tank without like putting the thing in the thing. I love that photo, but it's kind of convenient. I don't know. It's nice to not do it. But, you know, maybe other people have a different opinion. I don't know if I told you about this. At the gas station near my house, somebody like pulled up into one of the ones that was like out of order or whatever, and it like had cones, or I don't even know if it was out of order. They just weren't using it. A dude pulled up and tried to self-service his own gas. And the attendant was like, hey, man, you can't do that. You have to, like, come around and get in line. Like, I have to do it for you. And they, like, got into a screaming match.
Sure.
Like, the dude who had come up and was, like, trying to pump his own gas started cursing at the attendant and stuff. And it was, like, I don't know. I didn't see where his plates were from. I think he was from Oregon was the wild thing. Was, like, you know how it works here. Like, sit in line like the rest of us have to. And I felt bad for the attendant. I was like, hey, are you okay? You know, afterwards. And, you know, he was like visibly shaken.
Sure.
So this bill to that end would potentially mean that you don't have to get cussed out at work by people who want to self-service their own gasoline.
I wonder about like jobs and the impact of that. And
yeah.
Also like the money that would around implementing it or the money that it'll take away from like workers.
Yeah.
But also, and then I was thinking, but you know, come on, get with the program. It's like 45, 6, 7, 8, 9, 49 states do this.
Yeah. It's only us in New Jersey that seem to have an issue.
But then the story what you just told me reminded me of some of the folks in the population in like the metro Portland area.
Yeah.
And Portland metro area. And I was like, oh, right, there are some people that are just kind of the worst. And
yeah.
I can't imagine them after never interacting with a gas pump
yeah.
to be able to do it safely. Just because you like literally reminded me that we can't have nice things.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
Maybe Oregonians and people who live in New Jersey just can't be trusted. I don't know. We do have a caller, Mike. Hey, how you doing?
Hey, good. How are you guys?
Good.
Good morning. Hey, as a lifelong Portlander, I guess, at least mostly, I just love other people pumping my gas. I pull in, I relax, I straighten things up. And they put my gas in, I go. And I don't want to get out and touch the diesel-y thing and the gassy thing. And I would just rather someone else do it.
Yeah,
and
I feel that.
It creates jobs. And like you said, it's safer. And I don't know. It's just a moment to stop.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's all I got.
Well, I think what it is that people are like, oh, it'd be so much faster if you didn't have to wait or you didn't have to do this. It's like, you know, that's the way that it is. So I feel like you build that time into your brain of like, this is how it goes when I want to get gas.
When I was a child, you would pull in, the guys would run, you know, they would come out, the guys or gals, mostly guys in those days, and then they would wash your front window, your back window. And if they were really nice, they'd do the side windows. They would wash your windows as well. So I'm just saying, and check your oil or, you know,
yeah.
they were sick. Service station attendant.
That's deluxe.
And I'm I think we should just keep it the way it is.
So but you
anyway,
think?
All right, you guys have a great day.
All right, thank you, Mike. Appreciate you.
Bye.
If other folks want to call in, 503-231-8187, we're talking about, surprise, you might have to pump your own gas extremely soon in Oregon.
I haven't lived here for long enough to truly let myself simmer in that and appreciate it fully. I mean, it feels very counterintuitive. Mm-hmm. Actually, whenever I do pump gas, I get out of the car and just sit with the gas and like talk with the gas attendant because it just feels like it just feels like really weird.
Yeah.
And
I will say, like, being a lady who sometimes runs out of gas at nighttime,
oh,
kind of nice to not have to get out of the car. And probably for everybody, it's kind of nice to not have to, like, you know, stand there. And the other thing is, like, you know, you get out of this dang old state and you have to go pump your own gas. There's so many warnings about, and like things that I remember being warned about as a kid, of like, don't wear a wool sweater, put your phone down, like, no static electricity, like, hey, bud, I know you're not trained on this, but try not to blow up. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's interesting. And I don't know. I also kind of think that it's nice, but everybody else is doing it. Is that a compelling reason?
I do. Well, we'd love to hear from you. Again, the phone number is 503-231-8187. What do you think about the possibility of Oregonians pumping their own gas?
Mm-hmm.
The dangers. That's interesting. Whenever I think of pumping gas, my grandmother was pumping her gas when the DC sniper was out and about, and the whole thing was like, don't pump your gas in this specific area, and she would only go to that specific area. Said, if he wants me, he'll get me. But she would have a lot of, you know, as she got older, she got a lot of issues with pumping her gas because, you know, she just got older. Her body just wasn't able to, you know, do the same stuff. So that's, you know, I can see that being helpful for folks who need that extra assistance, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And that option, I think, will still exist.
Yeah, there's going to be at least one person
who will be in pumping city. Gas for people per, in 16 of the more heavily populated counties. And we do have a caller with us, Mary. How you doing?
Hi there. How are you?
Good, good. What do you think about all this?
Well, I wanted to share, my experience from spending a lot of formative years in New Jersey, mm-hmm. as well as New York State, as well as Washington State, and also Oregon. So my perspective is that back when they were proposing this in New Jersey, there were a lot of arguments against doing it, as well as arguments for. And some of the arguments against it were that you would have an attendant who can actually help you if you needed someone to turn a wrench on your car or repair a tire or things like that. Unfortunately, things in the world have evolved such that even in New Jersey, there's not a whole lot of people available to do that anymore. The other argument in favor is, of course, it costs less, supposedly. I believe that ultimately the gas prices will be the gas prices. And I guess when I first heard about it, I thought it would be sort of something where we can all share the misery of having to touch gas pumps.
Mm-hmm.
I felt that there was a certain equality in not leaving it to poorly paid attendants to get their hands dirty and absorb that much from the air as well as through their skin of, you know, petroleum distillates. So I thought it might be a good sort of equalizer that we could all, you know, share in that. On the other hand, I also, I'm on the fence about it, honestly. I mean, I'm mostly in Washington now, so I spend a lot of time pumping my own gas. And yes, I think it is faster. And for those who don't know, you can pull the pumps all the way over to the other side of the car in case you're lined up where your gas tank access is on the wrong side, you know. That can be frustrating. But you can pull the pump all the way over. you know, the hose all the way over and do it, so it makes it a little faster. So I don't know if it's really going to be cheaper. I think they'll jack up the price no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think it's very important to have help for individuals who are either disabled or otherwise unable to pump their own gas.
Mm-hmm.
So I think more than one person would be good. But I think it is excuse me, easier to protect one or two individuals who are pumping the gas rather than the entire populace. But
mm-hmm.
So I'm, like I said, I'm on the fence.
Well, we appreciate also, the perspective and input. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. It is more of a wait, usually, you know,
mm-hmm.
When you're waiting for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Although it's not that dramatic in most cases.
Right.
Except when there's a bit of a shortage or there's a big line. But.
Right. And some of that is on you for going on empty. And by you, I mean me. Because sometimes I'm rolling in there. I'm like, I got a mile or two left. I don't know if I can make it to the next gas station. This might be it. Well, thank you, Mary. We appreciate the call.
Thank you very much. Have a good one.
Thanks. That's a lot of perspectives over there. Got different states, different area codes.
Yeah.
And I think we got another caller on the air. How are you, caller? You're on the air with us.
Yeah, hi. This is Brett.
Hi, Brett. How are you?
I just wanted to say that, you know, I think the era of electric is upon us. And really, like, this conversation is probably only relevant for the next 10 years or so. And then we really don't have to worry about that. And really, we should be getting off fossil fuels either way. Now, I mean, not only is it the attendant and us that are, you know, pumping the gas that are being harmed, but it's the entire supply chain of the fossil fuel industry from the point of extraction all the way through its processing.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to honestly just be kind of lobbying towards getting off of fossil fuels, towards greater public transportation, so we don't even need, you know, to be driving vehicles individually. And I think, you know, frankly, that the conversation of pumping your own gas is somewhat irrelevant in a few years.
I like that more zoomed out perspective.
Thanks.
Yeah, I appreciate,
appreciate you, Brett. You take care.
Yeah, thank you.
And if anyone feels like buying me an electric vehicle, because I'm not buying one of those. What? Got my 96 staying with
exactly.
me.
Yeah, exactly.
Got to pry it out of my cold, dead hands.
Uh-huh.
I said it.
Folks, and, no, go ahead.
And also the batteries that get them. Sorry, it's the batteries. We'll figure it out one day.
Okay, electric car attendants.
Yeah, for sure. The public transit and trains seem to be the way if we're going to move around.
Trains, old school. I miss
Big
those.
Big picture. Well, thank you, Brett. We appreciate the call.
Thanks.
Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
If other folks would like to call, 503-231-8187, pumping your own gas, Oregon. It's coming, probably.
Maybe.
Maybe. It's going to happen, like, really soon. Let us know what you think.
It's up to... It could come down to us at some... You know.
It's on...
It's
going to
be for the 20... Boom. There it is.
It could be today that it happens. Anyway. Well, we have another caller, Kim. Hey, Kim, how's it going?
Good, thanks.
What do you think about all this?
Well, when I was a young woman, I lived in California in a state where I pumped gas, and I just remember wishing I didn't have to, because you'd be dressed for work, and you'd have to get out, and by the time you got back in your car, you'd feel like you smelled like gasoline going to work. So I didn't like that. So I lived here a long time, and I have no issue with letting someone else take care of that for me. It's
mm-hmm.
great.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point. I don't. People don't necessarily go out looking to smell like gasoline, I would say.
Right, and it does happen. So, I would vote for, you know, one of the luxuries of living in Oregon.
Mm.
Keep it that way.
Yeah, exactly. We got beautiful mountains. We got beautiful rivers, and we got people to do your gas for you. And isn't that what it's all about?
It's not bad, and as the other caller said, we may not be doing it in the future as much as we are now, and so, you know,
mm-hmm.
why do we need to change? Who does it really benefit?
Yeah.
I don't think the gas prices are going to come down when we don't have people pumping our gas.
Yeah.
I don't think it works that way. whoever's owning the gas station is probably going to just capitalize on whatever they can, you know. So keep the attendance. Yeah.
Keep the attendance. Well, thank you, Kim.
Okay.
Thanks. Well, the gas companies are going to have to, you know, Exxon and all, they'll have perhaps a lawsuit coming up, so they'll have to cut corners somewhere.
You go. It does.
If the second caller that mentioned gas prices, and I totally agree, it's the gas prices are, they're just soaring. I really don't think, I don't know, I don't think this will change anything.
There,
I don't know.
So, I mean, to a point about this law, there is going to be an option that like half of the pumps have to still offer attendant service. So, you know, we're easing in, we're easing out. It will still be available. It just won't be a requirement. And also that they're not, you know, gas stations aren't allowed to charge different amounts per based on if you want someone to pump your gas or you want to do it yourself. It's going to be the same price. But I guess the overall system of how does that impact prices is still is still a question out there. We have another caller, Andrew.
Hello.
Hey, Andrew. Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
What are your thoughts on this? Let us know.
Well, I think first thing is, of course, deal with gas, and gas is a really dangerous substance, you know. If you light a match to it, it'll blow up. So, yeah, at gas stations, there has to be control over the process, you know, of pumping the gas. I'm sort of a retro guy, you know. I would love to see things done the way they were, but that's beside. I don't want to talk about it. That's past history, I guess. We need to talk about the future. So I guess I sort of like half. Where half of them are you have to have an attendant, and half of them you can pump your own. The half that are pump your own, there's going to have to be some kind of I really think that it can be done. It's just there's so many people driving these days that sometimes gas stations get a little busy, and for at those times it's good to have pump your own. I don't think there's anybody that's really dishonest, really. They'll pump their gas and pay, so
I guess
that's about my opinion on it. Where does that leave us? I guess that leaves us, my Andrew's opinion is half and half.
Well, thank you so much. We appreciate the call. We got another few minutes going on here on The Gap for you to call in about pumping your own gas. It's a bill on the governor's desk. They're going to go half and half at the gas stations with attendants who can do it for you, or if you want to do it yourself. Let us know what you think. 503-231-8187.
This is truly, people are really split in the middle.
Yeah.
I love it. I really do, because you think it's, I love it. I appreciate it. People are thinking about it. Mm-hmm. People are being considerate of jobs. People are being considerate of the dangers that of just being exposed to gas, both to patrons and to gas station attendants. And it was interesting to hear some people mention how in years past, or as Andrew said, I loved it, past history, it used to be that, you know, it seemed like there was a bit more of like a mechanic element to it. So looking under the hood, checking your oil and stuff like that. I've never asked someone to do that. But then it brings up another question of a tip, you know, like, because I've definitely heard people say that they tip gas attendants, and I've had people say that that's not a thing and no one does it. So that I don't know, it just comes to mind, you know.
Right. That might be a New Jersey thing. I don't think that you have to do it in Oregon.
Courtesy is great. In this economy.
Right. And I would, I often need help with the old car to see what's going on there. I think one time the most recent time that it happened to me was probably a couple months ago, and the gas station attendant, there was like nobody there, which mm-hmm. isn't always like no cars, I mean, no line, and they were like, I'm bored, I'm gonna do your windows. So it was like not a regular thing to do so, and I was like, all right, great, thank you. I appreciate it. I'm just in here watching TikToks. I'm like waiting for you to fill me up $40 of regular. And they're like, you want a full regular? And I say, no, I want 40 regular.
It's, you know, another caller mentioned about like being going to work and having to pump your gas and then smelling like gas.
Yeah.
That's, I don't know, it might be a DC thing, but there's like being wearing your little pencil skirt and your little like think tank outfit or whatever and like walking in to like pour some gas into your and pump some gas into your car. Like that's, it's like the juxtaposition of the right. of capitalism and the working girl, you know? Uh-huh. And it's like, you know, it's, and I'm not saying it's good or anything. I'm just saying it's like, there's a culture, you know, and like, people talking to people and like hitting on people on one another at the gas stations. Like there's a whole culture around gas stations that I'd be interested to see how it gets injected here. Cause it'll be weird. That's for sure.
Current gas station culture is like, I'm sitting alone and don't actually look at me. And also don't play your music too loud because sometimes people will give you a dirty look if you're like really vibing.
We do not pump gas in the same place. I'll
that's
tell you
true.
That much.
That's true. Oh. And the other thing that I was thinking about all of this was that, like the gas station near me is often like understaffed, and like mm-hmm. the attendants that work there, like they seem stressed. So like, let alone the ones that are getting yelled at by people who think that they run the world about, you know, whether or not they're allowed to pump their own gas. Another thing, like the gas stations here are not open late.
Once it's dark, I don't even try.
That's not normal. Mm. That's like very weird.
Is that because of the attendance?
Maybe. I guess I'm not sure. But like most gas stations not being open late is not. What is normal? But like in my experience living other places, like, and especially when it's like 10 p.m. It's like, oh no, 10 p.m. Guess I'm out of gas in a major metropolitan city and I can't do anything about it?
In America, think of all the bombs that went off to get that oil over here. Exactly. I went there. You're about to wig out.
Okay, tell me.
There are places in America where the gas station is closed, but you can still get gas because you pump your own gas. You just put your card in, it out, and you put... And there's no one there. Wow. You can't even go to the Quickie Mart to get a little bite. Can't get nothing.
You can't get a Starburst even if you wanted to.
You can't get an Arizona if you wanted to because it's closed. But you know what you can get? Gas.
Gas. There you go. Well,
soon may we be part of this culture of being able to get gas whenever we want to. Or not.
I like having the option. It'll be interesting to see, you know, assuming the governor signs the bill, you know, how people shake out. Are they wanting to do their own gas? Are they going to want somebody to do it for them? Are there different situations in which it's like, I need to return a call. I might as well have somebody else do this for me.
The proof will be the pudding.
The proof will be the pudding. Very true. Well, we are just about out of time here on The Gap. We want to thank you so much for listening.
Yes. And we will be off for the next 3 weeks for... different reasons.
We're taking a little summer break, if you must know.
But we'll be available on the Instagram if you want to hit us up.
At The Gap Radio.
And we'll be back on the
21st of July. I'm going to make a promo to that effect so you don't worry about us. Because we're fine. We're just going to take a little break. But we really appreciate everybody for listening and supporting KBOO. You can do that with a donation at kboo.fm/give. Or you can text KBOO to 44321. Helps keep cool people like us on the air.
Yay. You take care. Stay safe.
Tammy, thank you. I'm Althea.
Thank you, Althea. Thank you, Tammy.
Thank you, Tammy. Thank you, everyone. You. Goodbye.
You are tuned in to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
On the next Voices for the Animals, we'll be speaking with Howard Garrett of the Orca Network about the plans to release Lolita, also known as Tokate, an orca who has lived in captivity performing for over 50 years.
The same people who are trying to splash cold water on the whole idea and discourage any talk of Toki coming home, they paint this picture of her as being, you know, really decrepit and couldn't possibly survive the journey, and that's just not true at all.
We'll also talk with Courtney Scott of In Defense of Animals about why our own Oregon Zoo has landed on their list of 10 worst zoos for elephants for the 12th year in a row.
Elephants are uniquely unsuited to captivity, and just by their size alone, they require miles to roam, and without that base, they literally suffer brain damage.